sharp, Looney Tunes.
Algie, this means war.
Whatever, Bugs.
Where's my son?
Oh, now you want to be Daddy of the Year? Just calm down, LeBron. He'll be here, okay? We got bigger fish to fry.
Let's get some butts in DC.
How big are these butts?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Download Podcast Show. I am Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
And on today's show, we are doing we're doing a follow-up to an earlier podcast we did with Space Jam. We're doing Space Jam, A New Legacy. And this one was interesting, directed by Malcolm D. Lee. Obviously not starring Michael Jordan this time. This time we have the king, whatever, LeBron James, as the lead role with Don Cheadle, which was kind of cool to have, as Al G, Rhythm. Cedric Joe as who plays LeBron's son Dom James. Sonequa Martin Green plays his wife. I mean, there's a whole host of people in this movie: Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving,
Draymond Green,
Michael B. Jordan. I mean,
yeah,
it's like they just said, let's put everybody in this mix.
Darren's been hounding me to do this movie for the longest time. So I guess
I would use some stronger words, but
stronger than fuck you. Okay.
Say to you part, that's all.
And this is this is released on the 25th anniversary. It was released on the 25th anniversary of the original Space Jam, which was 96.
Yep.
And apparently, well, you mentioned the director Malcolm D. Lee, apparently Justin Lin, who was supposed to direct this, but he left for F9 and F10 Fast and Furious movies. I don't watch those films, but I suppose it was a better decision.
I would say probably so, economically at least.
And then they have Chris Brown as the composer.
Yep.
But I almost put in like John Williams, Danny Elfman, Ramin Djawadi from Game of Thrones, like as composers on this too, because they essentially borrowed everything from the catalog of the Warner Brothers.
Yeah, this was just like, if you were curious of like what properties they were managing, this was the movie for you to find out.
Yeah, this was pretty insane. I used the word shameless a couple times in my notes. So, and as far as these numbers can go, budget $150 million, box office $137 million. These are COVID numbers, so
yeah. Who knows? I'd say it's probably like 200 or so, something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. And then I put a special shout out to the music supervisor Morgan Rose, because I watched some of the extras on HBO where they talk about, you know, a lot of behind the scenes stuff. So right. Morgan Rhodes. And then IMDb 4.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics 27%.
Wow.
But the audience is 79%.
Well, they weren't on Facebook. I don't know, because the people on Facebook were like, I'd say we're a four.
I mean, that is probably the biggest difference in critics versus audience on Rotten Tomatoes I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like one of the lowest we've ever done.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if kids have access to Rotten Tomatoes, but maybe they're jacking up the score.
What was the Space Jam 1? What was there? Do we know?
You know what's funny? I couldn't find my notes for our Space Jam episode.
That's interesting.
But oh my god! Oh no, this is the new legacy. Where's the original Space Jam? I was about to say it's like the same ratings. Let's see. No, it's not showing me.
Oh. No, that's
not it.
No, it just keeps showing you the the newest one, which is weird.
Oh, I can, here we go. Let's see. 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb and 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, not,
so not a higher cool. IMDb, probably, yeah. Below the, let's see what the audience is. Audience is 63%. So they're probably mean percentages is about the same.
Yeah, it's about the same.
And I don't think I can argue that.
Yeah.
The only thing better in this is probably the effects.
Yeah, the effects were, you know, there was like some dope effects, and I was like, okay, that's to be expected. So,
yeah. So the other thing, so this is again, we said this is the released on the 25th anniversary of the original. They also do it was actually an IMDb trivia. The original Space Jam had a prologue set in 1973, which is 23 years before the film's release. And this film does the same thing with a prologue in 98. So we start with a flashback with the young LeBron addicted to a Game Boy, which he throws out. No one's throwing out a Game Boy.
Nobody.
That should probably be in my what the fuck moments, but I just put it right up front. Anyway, so it foreshadows like a few things like LeBron's handshakes.
Oh, right.
I think those were his mom.
Yeah.
And then it also foreshadows, I said it foreshadows his lack of clutchness.
That's just wrong.
LeBron, if you're listening to this, it's called a joke. Don't come find me.
Call fun. Remember that, Dad?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a basketball player sitting here doing a podcast on LeBron James. So, you know, let's put it in context. Yeah, so, you know, I like the what they did there with paralleling the original movie with the flashback.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, makes sense. I mean, although, you know, the first time I had to watch this, I watched part of it again today. And I have to say, it felt a little different than when they did it the first time, maybe because it was the first time they've done it, you know. But this time it just felt more like, I don't know, like we were just, yeah, like we were just supposed to be in awe of his past or something. Like, it's just like,
Well, we also have he also has a producer credit on this. I don't know if Michael Jordan had a producer credit on his. Like, it feels like LeBron sought this out versus,
yeah,
you know, the WB seeking out Jordan for this film. So
yeah,
I'm on the same page. It's kind of him tooting his own horn.
Yeah,
I'm also not sure how I felt about that. I don't know if the coach, I don't know if it's a pull from his real life, like he was into video games and not focused.
Right.
And then he had a coach do the speech. I wasn't super feeling the coach's speech.
Yeah, me either.
It's like pressure much.
Yeah. Like, especially at that age. I'm like, come on, man. It wasn't like I could have believed this if it was set in high school. Because at that level, high school games are important, right?
Yeah, he's like, 12 in this one?
12? What the fuck, man?
Like, I had a coach, like, I was at a basketball camp. I had a coach, like, tell me, like, as I was leaving, like, hey, you're going to be one of the greats. Now, he was wrong, but that was also still, that was high school. I was in high school at the time.
Right. So, I think in high school is where they start pumping you up. Like when you're 12, they're just happy if you show up to the game most times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe things have changed since we was kids. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, and plus, again, he's LeBron James. I'm Chris Saunders. So, who knows? The coach played by Wood Harris of Remember the Titans fame.
Yep.
Another film we've done previously. Mm. So, let me just get this out of the way, because otherwise we're just going to keep on coming back to it. So, I had heard that, I have not seen this movie, but I heard that LeBron James was like really good in Trainwrecked. And I'm just not seeing it here.
Oh, Trainwrecked. I saw that movie. He was okay. But it was okay. he was good in the context of sports athletes acting. You know what I mean? Like you get these sports athletes who go in and like, there's very few that I can count on my hand where you're like, wow, these guys, he's great. He was good in the context that he's an NBA player and he was on the screen. That's how good he was. Now, compared to this, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. Kind of have to say I'd be disappointed.
I was just like, why is it so hard for you to act like a father?
Yeah, don't you got kids, dude? I mean, just do what you do at home, bro.
Yeah. I am no actor, but I do feel I can put on a better performance. Yeah. Maybe I just don't know some shit, but like, yeah. Or maybe the bar is just too low.
It just felt like it was weird. Like, some of his scenes, I'm just like,
Yeah, I mean, what they really should do is do like a Space Jam for football and have Peyton Manning in there, because that dude is.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Now Peyton is like the rare breed. If you put him in a comedy, it's gonna be funny. I'm not even questioning whether it will be. It's going to be funny.
Yeah, because his commercials, like his show when he was on SNL, like it's so good. Would you consider Dave Bautista a sport?
Yeah.
An athlete?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Because he's definitely like jacked. And I mean, I'll watch WWE like that. That's
when I saw him in Blade Runner, I was like very impressed. Like, he's a good actor.
I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I love Drax.
Yeah.
I think he's dope in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Nothing gets over my head. I'm too quick. So yeah, another movie we've done, by the way. So, you know, if you want to check out Remember the Titans and Guardians of the Galaxy, check it out streaming. I had some questions.
Just some.
These are the ones, I'm sure there's others later on, but I'm jumping ahead to the scene where like he goes to the meeting, the pitch meeting for like the WB 3000.
Yeah.
And like after it, like, why are you having this argument with your son about like basketball camp in front of like strangers?
Yeah, it was weird. That was kind of like weird. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it could have been like, you know, it would have been like, you know, we'll talk about this when we get home, right? That would be like the reality, the real person response instead of missing. Anyway, maybe I'm just nitpicking. Why is his son just aimlessly walking around the Warner Brothers?
I know
you're 12. Actually, I don't know how old is supposed to be in this film, but like, I assume like around the same age LeBron was in the beginning, but like, you probably know how to find your way back out of a building, right?
Yeah. You get out of an elevator hallway.
You don't recognize. Yeah. You don't recognize shit. Like, go back in the elevator. Anyway, maybe these are details that no one wants to talk about or hear about.
They're like, why are you guys talking about that?
Dude, like, let's get to the movie. So we get like, I was a little uncomfortable with like the whole, you know, the two sons on the basketball court, one's practicing playing video games, and LeBron like, and they start fucking around. LeBron comes on, starts yelling at his son. Like, all of this made me very uncomfortable.
I was gonna say, like, as a basketball player, there's no way as a kid you're loving basketball if your father's gets upset out of like for that dumbass reason.
I feel like my hesitation here is like, right, usually you have a parent like that, it's they're living vicariously through their children.
Yeah.
LeBron doesn't need to live vicariously through anybody.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players ever.
Right.
So, and I don't know how much is pulled out of his real life and how much like he contributed to this, but
as a basketball player, you would think LeBron would have said to himself, this seems incorrect, and I would have gone to this screenwriters and said, nah, I'm not doing this because it makes me seem like thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's research, so like he clearly could have given input and he's a star. He's like,
yeah, take it out or I'm taking my money back.
Yeah, so
he's obviously not, you know, he's the money. So there you go. The money doesn't care.
So how much, so how do you feel about how they approach it this time? And quite frankly, I can't remember how Jordan gets to Toon World or the Land of the Toons in the original. Does he like fall through a hole or some shit? Or
yeah, something like that. It was, oh, he, yeah, like I think he reaches down into a hole or something and he gets pulled down by Bugs Bunny or something like that.
All right. So how do we feel about, you know, comparing it like that to what they did here? They made it super digital and high tech.
I actually didn't have too much of a problem. I thought it was kind of like, given the fact that, you know, it's 2021, the technology is just better, special effects are better, you know. So wait.
Was there internet in 1996? I can't remember.
96? I don't think. Oh, maybe so. I'm not sure. I don't think so, though.
You hear that, kids? There was no internet. There was no internet in 1996.
Yeah. So I didn't have a problem with how he entered the world. Well, I had a problem with how he got into the room. I don't have a problem with how they pulled him into the world. How they made it possible for him and his son to be in the place where they could be pulled into that world was implausible and stupid.
The only people that seemed to be in that building were the people that were pitching them the idea. Where was security?
I mean, that's one. If that's how Warner Brothers secures their servers, I'm going there tomorrow.
Let's go there and film. Let's go there and film something.
Fuck that. I'm going down there and downloading their entire library.
Well, that's called HBO Max.
Oh, that's true.
which again, they showcased in this film.
Oh my God. Did they? You think? Just pretty a little absurd. Bit. Holy.
Oh, did you catch the first shameless plug, though?
Which one?
When LeBron gets, he's falling through the sky and he falls and he crashes into the ground. Oh no, not when he first comes into to the what was it called?
The
Serververse. Wait, not when he gets pulled into there, but when Algie sends him to Toon World and he falls to the sky and lands. You see the first shameless plug? He creates a crater the size of something.
Oh, the Nike crater?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like,
the Nike swoosh crater.
Well, we know how this movie was paid for.
Yeah. So there's plug number one. Of course, there's a billion more later. And you know what? I found Bugs Bunny absolutely terrifying in this movie.
Yeah, he was a little creepy, right?
He was downright scary. Like, even his burrowing towards LeBron.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, like, this looks like, what was that movie? Tremors? This looks like Tremors. And like this big worm about to come out and eat LeBron.
Well, he just seems so like sinister, you know?
Yeah, but he tries to kill LeBron with a truck.
Yeah,
he tries to run over LeBron.
Like, he's alone in this town. And he's like, it's almost like he's alone in this town. He's suddenly turned psychotic and he's going to kill anything that comes in the town.
He's gone insane. Like, he thinks a pile of pumpkins is Porky. Like, this is perfect for a horror film.
They could have turned this into a horror film quite easily.
And if I'm LeBron, I'm not letting Bugs anywhere near me with a razor after he tried to kill me with a truck. And he's talking to a pumpkin pig. Like, I question LeBron's life choices in this movie, actually. Not to mention Bugs go to that saloon and is downing carrot juice and gets drunk. He's also an alcoholic. Like, this is for kids?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
There's a lot of
weird themes in this movie.
Maybe they're just like, you know, kids, you know, kids these days are more mature, so we're going to cater to, you know, to that.
I highly doubt that, but okay. I mean, we grew up in a world where rabbits constantly were, you know, getting shooting people and stuff. So, I didn't understand what they were trying to do with Bugs Bunny in the beginning of this movie, like at all. It actually made me mad because I love Bugs Bunny and they treated him like shit, to be honest.
It's very different from the rest of the film. This like first scene is just,
it's like
he's crazy.
It's like Jordan Peele wrote the first 30 minutes of this movie.
That is an apt observation. Where do we go from there? Then they have to go find the other toons.
Which was interesting.
Another trivia, IMDb. It was interesting, but again, it was just a way for them to showcase other WB properties. But another IMDb trivia is that the only voice actor to return from the original is Bob Bergen, who does Tweety. They were supposed to have the one for the voice actor for Lola, but she backed out, and then they replaced her with Zendaya.
She was actually okay.
They had a few people back out, actually, from this film. Maybe not surprising.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah.
The director, the original rabbit voice actress. I think there was a couple others. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, I also read another thing that the original film, when they originally were going to do Space Jam 2, they had Jackie Chan. He backed out. I mean, obviously that would be years ago, but he backed out, and then that became like a different Looney Tunes movie. So this thing was kind of doomed from the get-go.
Continue.
I was to the next thing, which is, this is essentially has to do with Don Cheadle's character, Algie. Algie Rhythm. He says a lot of shit in this. Let me profess this by saying he's possibly the best actor in this film, best character.
Yep.
But he's talking to Dom, LeBron's son, and Dom is like, "You mean he just left to go the other tunes?" He's like, "I mean, that's kind of his MO, right? He left Cleveland, he left Miami, he left Cleveland again. Look out, LA."
I was kind of surprised they put that in there.
I'm surprised LeBron let them put that.
That's in what there. I'm saying, right? You know, like, cause that, like,
I almost, there's a lot of points here where I feel like Cheadle like ad-libbed some shit, and that was wonderful.
I feel like that. I think you're right, because I can't believe he saw that in the script and said, "Yeah, that's awesome. Let's leave that in." No. No. No.
You know, let's put it this way: if it was MJ, that would not be in there. That
would have taken out
immediately.
That's not going to be seen. Let's say something like, "He's great. Glad he's on our team." Or something.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle. To your point, Don Cheadle. There's exactly two actors in this movie. The rest of them are people who happen to be in the movie.
Who's the other one?
His wife.
All right, I was going to say the same thing. I'm just making sure.
She's only in there like what, 3 minutes?
She has a cool. She's a dope quote that I liked. She's delivered it perfectly. I wish she was in it more. It was just like she was talking to him about like, you know, being so hard on Dom. She's just like,
oh.
Maybe this is just a cheesy line. It worked for me. Maybe her delivery was going to be like, "He doesn't need a coach. He needs his dad."
She delivered it great.
Yeah, she delivered it real. But
his face afterwards, come on.
His reaction takes are pretty horrible.
His reactions are terrible. Like, what?
Yeah, I can't even. I can't even start. Anyway, let's do you notice LeBron's dream team? His WB dream?
Yeah.
What was it? I thought it was some obvious, but some cool additions.
What do you mean? His dream obvious team? Ones. Superman and who do you have?
He had King Kong.
King Kong.
Like he, I can't remember if it was Kim or Iron Giant. It was like Iron he was on the boards.
Yeah.
And then we had Batman. So like Superman and Batman are kind of obvious. Then he had Trinity. I like that one.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. But yeah.
I like that one. That
was Now, see, if they had gone ahead and created that as their dream team, as a team, he was on... I might have paid more attention to this movie. I'm like, okay, all right. Let's see what this happened. But then,
that's a different movie, right?
Like
that's,
it turns into a different movie, yeah. But
still. Right, that probably turns into what is it?
It turns into Ready Player One.
Jinx, yes, Ready Player One. Yeah, so, and then of course it gets replaced by the dream team gets replaced by the Toons.
Yeah. What'd you think of how they built the team, how they went about building that team?
Yeah, so they all the Looney Tunes are dispersed, like they've left Looney Tune world and like they're dispersed amongst other, amongst other WB. I don't know, universes, worlds, whatever.
Yeah.
But they had Lola Bunny and Wonder Woman with the Amazons training to be an Amazon.
Probably the best one of all of them.
Well, she was the first one too, right? So
right.
They had Granny and Speedy Gonzalez and the Matrix.
Matrix, yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. I like the scene. What else?
Austin Powers.
Who was in Austin Powers?
Porky Pig.
He was.
Or Mini-Me.
No, was that him or Elmer Fudd?
You're right. Elmer Fudd, you're right.
Yeah, as Mini-Me. Yeah, I mean, it was fun to do that, right? Like, but does it build the story? No, it's just like nice to haves. So, I don't know. Yeah, the whole, now we're kind of getting into the shameless part and it comes to a head in the final basketball scene, but I do want to go back to Don Cheadle, because I said obviously like he's really good character, he's just a really good, he could have pulled this off, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else could have, like, because this character is like a megalomaniac, kidnapper, a manipulator, evil genius, dick. And I say that like he has plenty of examples in this film. Like his relationship with Dom reminds me of like Hook and Jack and Hook.
Essentially,
I mean, it's essentially the same storyline, right? The bad guy kidnaps the hero's son to get him to do some shit and
tries to turn him against. Yeah,
right. It's the same storyline. I wonder if Hook is part of WB. I can't remember. Actually, there were pirates there in the background, and I was like, where are these pirates coming from? And
Who knows? I'm
starting to think. And the whole time he's like, in Hook, it's a little more subtle when he's trying to turn Jack. He's just like, Jack, you can do whatever you want here. And like, you love baseball, let's play a baseball game, and you win. Like, this in this situation, Don Cheadle is a shit on LeBron the whole time to his son.
It's hilarious.
The whole thing, like he left Cleveland, he left Miami, quote. He does it right in front of him too, like where LeBron is like trying to get his son, I forget what the scene was, and he's like, oh, now you want to be daddy of the year? I'm like, oh my God. It was pretty raw. It was a lot of raw ass moments.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was the moment when they, when Algie Rhythm tries, upgrades Dom, and he's like telling him, you know, fathers only understand, you know, they don't understand all this other stuff, and he's like, you know, upgrade me. I'm like, you know, more I think about this movie, the more I'm like, what did I feel like they didn't give LeBron the script. They're like, no, you don't need a copy of the script. No, we good. You know what?
That might explain his lack of acting ability. He didn't know how to react, right? His reaction takes were just him being like, what? Like, did I just say that?
Just pretend like you're in a McDonald's commercial.
This is just like, whose line is it anyway? Anyway, yeah, I mean, I agree. It seems like he didn't know what he was saying most of the time.
Yeah. And you didn't know what people were going to say about him either, because, yeah. I mean, you could, I mean, you know, like you said, there's a lot of stuff against LeBron in this movie, a lot, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed that part.
I guess. I mean, I don't hate LeBron. I'm still an MJ guy. Like, MJ is the GOAT.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I think, you know, LeBron's terrible. LeBron is amazing. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, he is. I just
he's left all these places, but he's also won championships in all these places. So,
yeah.
MJ only won a championship with one team. Loser.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible.
We should definitely talk about this music.
Yep. Which, yeah, I'll let you start it because I'm.
Well, I actually watched, you know, so I don't know if you watched these extras on HBO.
No.
They had a bunch of extras and they had parts of it on the sound, on the music, and the Chris Bowers, who was a composer. Mm-hmm. He said every one of those songs from the original Space Jam, because they were trying to recreate kind of that feel here. He said every one of those songs held special place in my heart when I was a kid. I was like, every one of them?
Are you sure? Really?
Right now, there's at least one song on that soundtrack that should not be on your playlist. And then, you know, they talk a lot about trying to recreate that feeling, and like the director said the soundtrack will be epic. I'll wait for you to kind of sound off on if it was epic. And then they have LeBron saying like sports and music kind of live hand in hand, which is absolutely true. So that was kind of like background and like how they approach the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And we start out with Ghetto Superstar.
Yep.
Which is nice for us because that could have actually been in the original film.
Yep.
Praz, ODB, Maya. But the fact that they played it here from his childhood made me feel old. Made me feel very, very old. But actually, LeBron was 12 when the first movie came out, and I was 14. So I'm like, but I feel like I was older when that. Yeah, 96. But I feel like this movie came out when I was a little older, but maybe I'm just misremembering my old age. Mm. And then, you know, obviously, it's a mix of old tracks and then a bunch of, you know, newer artists. Like, what did you think about the newer tracks?
First, the fact that you think hearing Ghetto Superstar makes you feel old. Hearing the newer stuff makes me feel old because a lot of the stuff are like from people I've never heard of. Never heard of some of these people.
You've heard of Chance the Rapper, John Legend.
Oh, John Legend, I know.
I think Duckworth was on the Black Panther album. John Legend shows up to us. I mean,
Salt and Pepper is on there.
Lil Baby, you know, Kirk Franklin. Look, Kirk Franklin's from our generation.
Barely know.
I almost turned the movie off at this point. What about the artist Notorious P.I.G.?
But not
listen, folks. Listen, yeah. I almost turned off the movie.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I was going to sit there and take it or just I was like, what? Wait, what? No, they didn't. No, they.
Yeah. So for y'all that, you know, may not remember, if you, first of all, if you're watching this, this is just a whole podcast of spoilers. So stop now, because we probably already ruined the movie. But for those of you who have seen the film and maybe don't remember this scene, Porky Pig has a rap battle with, well, actually nobody. There's no nobody. Battle. It's just him. But and he's introduced as the Notorious P.I.G. Not B.I.G., P.I.G. And at this stage, I almost stopped the film. So,
just, I mean, throwing that just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I think this is the moment that really is apropos.
Yeah, I mean, but like that's kind of the story of this film, right? It seemed like they could do a lot of things, and they decided to do all of them.
Everything. Yeah.
So. So, but apart from not recognizing a lot of these artists. Even the songs that came on, See Me Fly with Chance the Rapper and John Legend and The Best by Anthony Ramos, none of the songs gave me that feeling from the original film.
Well, one of the things I didn't like was that a lot of the times when the music came on, they didn't play it very long, or it was kind of it way in the background, and I was just like, that makes... Like, how are they going to make this soundtrack supposedly as epic as the first if you barely get to experience any of the music?
Well, I feel like we actually might have had the same conversation about the original film.
Probably.
I wish I could find my notes. The difference is when that film came out, the soundtrack was, you know,
the soundtrack,
an actual thing that people listen to,
would go out
and buy and like listen to the soundtrack. Whereas now, no one's gonna go buy the soundtrack. No one's even gonna go stream this whole thing all the way through. So that's the difference, right? You're not gonna experience the music the same way as we did when this movie first came out.
Right. This was, and you know, this movie unfortunately isn't good enough to inspire you to want to go and find the soundtrack, to be honest.
No. So,
like, if we weren't doing this podcast, I would have never listened to the playlist.
Well, like, one major theme from the first film that we don't have here that was very important to the film was that Michael Jordan retired and came back. Yeah. And this film was supposed to fill in that gap.
Right.
This new one fills in no gap. There's no storyline. There's nothing interesting about LeBron's life that we're trying to connect. So that for me, and maybe this might be different for like younger kids today because LeBron is there, Michael Jordan. Right. But there's no connection for me.
I don't understand. So this is what I didn't understand. I don't know like when they started filming this, but they filmed it. They were filming it at least when he was in LA, because we know that by the reference, right? Why didn't they just build it off of that? Him coming to LA and Algie Rhythm saying, wow, this guy, new guy's coming. He's come to town. Let's do something with him. And then he rejects him, because that him coming to LA, Hollywood, could have been the thing. Instead, they chose to kind of just make it all about, I don't know what.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I mean, more, well, the story is his relationship with his son, but right, the impetus there, I agree. I think that move to LA, because he must have started filming that like right when he went to LA.
Actually, I'm pretty sure, because I remember when he
there was something about it. When he went to talk to like the Lakers or some shit, or like he went over and talked to, I feel like it was simultaneous.
Yep.
So that would have been something. Maybe he was just like, I don't want to alienate Miami fans or Cleveland fans.
He's already said fuck them
by putting this in the movie, but I don't know.
Yeah, he said fuck them by going to LA anyway. So what, like, so come on, man. Own it.
Anyway, so going back to the music, like at least at points in this film, the music is directly related to like the scene or whatever. Like they did do that. Like See Me Fly. I mean, obviously that kind of talk, you think about dunking and stuff, but that's his highlight reel. And one of the lines in that is we're clear for takeoff. So like it almost like not just dunking, but you know, the police ready for takeoff. So it kind of gets us into it. It was a song, The Best, which I didn't see how it fit in because it wasn't like when he was, it wasn't like LeBron, I'm the best. It was some other scene. It was disconnected. There's one called Settle the Score, which might have been cool more towards the end. Like after halftime or something. Run Wild, a Roadrunner scene during, I think it was when they find him in a Mad Max. That's right. Yeah. Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote are in Mad Max.
That was actually kind of dope.
But then, I mean, as time goes by, there was a scene where they found some people in Casablanca, the movie Casablanca.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was out of left field.
People watching it don't know Casablanca. I mean, this is a movie for kids right now. No kid knows Casablanca. Come on.
Maybe that's for the parents that have to sit through this thing with them. There's a song called Crowd Go Crazy. That's John Legend. So, like, you know, that's the stadium feel.
Right.
So they did. They tried. Let me just put. They tried. There's a song called We Win, which I think is Dom's intro, and it's in the end credits. Maybe it's supposed to be the main song. Kirk Franklin, which just, to me, not a good song. It was just noise. Anyway, so they tried to do these things. We'll talk about it later, you know, our favorite songs later. There are some, because they also have the Chicago Bulls theme in here. They have the NBA on NBC theme.
I mean, I love that song. I don't know why.
Because it's amazing. It's the greatest, sports on TV theme song ever. And then we got Flavor in Your Ear. You got a remix. If you're going to go with that song, you got to go with the remix. Because that is one of the awesomest collaborations of all time. You got, Craig Mack, Notorious, Busta Rhymes, and LL Cool J. Hopefully I'm not missing anybody.
Craig Mack passed away last year, didn't he?
Last year? I thought he passed away a while ago.
I'm not sure. I mean, it was within the last 5 or 6 years.
And then actually they have a song during the credits too. I'm not sure how it fits into the story or anything, but it's Leon Bridges, who I'm sure you know. It's called My Guy. It doesn't connect at all. At least
it doesn't fit in anything.
Yeah, I like the song. I just added it to my playlist, but it's like, what? Anyway, so I just want to say real quick, if you're just tuning in now, Chris Saunders here with Darren Jenkins. We are the hosts of Download Podcast, and we are covering Space Jam Legacy starring LeBron James. And just kind of eked our way through the soundtrack. And thank you for joining. Follow us everywhere on the Download Podcast show. And I guess now we can maybe start talking about some of our favorite quotes. There's some stuff in there. Not favorite.
I was going to say
things that
decent quotes
that caught your, not even decent. They could be bad too.
I just finished watching Free Guy, which perfect for this movie. Free Guy, I highly recommend seeing it. It's really good. And there's Rel, the comedian Rel Davis, who's in it. He plays a security guard in there. And if you go see it, I won't spoil it, but there's a whole thing about security guards that kind of runs through the movie. So there was a quote by the dude in the security house when, and the guy's like, I went to school for 6 months to be accredited as a security specialist, specializing in Securial Arts. I was like, Securial Arts? What the fuck is Securial Arts? But he was so serious about it. I was like, he was funny because he was just like, you done lost LeBron James.
I feel like he said something.
He was funny.
Another like word for security that I can't remember right now. Yeah.
He was funny. He was funny.
And LeBron should have followed his own advice in this movie because he actually says athletes acting never goes well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, correct. Why are you doing it?
Why are you doing it, dude? This is a good time for a stand-in for you. The one about the unibrow. Hey, yo, bro. I think it's time for your eyebrows to break up with each other.
Oh, my God. Everyone, he says that to Anthony Davis.
I know.
See, which, who's on his team, and I don't know. Maybe he got Davis's blessing for that. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, that was...
That was good.
Oh, yo, this is all... LG, he says at one point to LeBron, I'm king of this domain. I'm not your coach.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was great.
Suggesting that, you know, LeBron is coaching like any coach that's there is just like a paper coach. I was like, dude, I can't believe they allowed some of this stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's mostly from LG.
Yeah, he was underratedly like good in this movie.
Oh, I love how he introduced Dom during the basketball game. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
He's my hero on the ones and zeros.
Oh yeah.
Because Dom is like he's a coder. He like makes apps. So that is amazing. Maybe I'm just a nerd. I'm sorry.
No, that was good.
LeBron actually says the computer's black.
Yeah.
Why are you surprised? Like, the fuck?
He described himself as a guy who doesn't get a lot of respect. I mean, so what about you might not be able to get all those top guys for this team. This ain't the Miami Heat, you know.
Yep.
Damn. I wonder if he just gave them carte blanche to just go after him.
Yeah, like this is gonna be my roast. Go for it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I gotta give another shout out to his wife Kamaya. Because she's not in here again for long, but I feel like she shines when she is. She's like, you have 0 seconds to tell me where my husband and my son are. You know, usually you give someone 3 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. She's like, she's just the delivery. Again, it's just the delivery. So,
yeah.
If we could, should we do another Space Jam, The Legacy Continues with a... I'm sorry if I butcher this, but Sonequa Martin Green. If we can have another or just any other movie with her in it would be great because I think she.
Well, I enjoy seeing her on Star Trek. So
that's her. Oh man, Discovery.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I can't. I don't have CBS, and I started watching that shit when I was in England. You know, when you go to England in another country, and like they let you see different things. Yeah, I was able to watch like the first 2 or 3 episodes of that, and I liked it, but I haven't been able to continue. That's her. That's now her. I know why I like her. Okay,
that's why. And I also, like,
also with someone we spoke about in the previous Bond podcast, Michelle Yeoh.
Yep. She's in that, and
I'm gonna throw out one more quote before we have to move on to like the rest of the thing. But what in the AARP is going on here?
Oh, that what in the AARP is going on here?
Her granny was she slowly on the court, or she did her move and like took out? Oh, yeah, she took out Kronos, and he says that.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I tell you, she was something else in this movie.
Yeah, she was like drinking a martini in the background. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I was this movie kind of was weird because it was like it didn't know whether it was for kids or for adults. And it was
There's a lot of like drunkenness in this movie to be for kids. What the fuck moments besides Granny drinking a martini?
Well, you know, I think I've said a few of them already. Like, you know, the first basketball court scene with his kids, I thought was like one long what the fuck moment, and for many reasons. Not just because of his acting, because I think right there off the bat, he set you up for what you were going to expect. And it's like, look, don't expect much because I can't act.
You know how they filmed, sometimes they'll film the first scene last.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did that here, but they should have. So then he had all this like experience.
Right.
And then bring it back for the first scene so that like at least sets it off in the right direction. But
yeah, because the first scene is so important. Like if you have a bad feeling about the first scene, it's like, all right, that'll settle in for garbage, you know. Yeah. How about yourself?
I have a few, but just to save time here, Porky ripping off that furry monster's hair to wear to disguise himself. Gonna go with that one.
What'd you think of
some Silence of the Lambs shit right there?
What'd you think of the new Monstars, or whatever you want to call these guys, like compared to the old team? Which, by the way, the old Monstars were in the movie, so
yeah, they made their cameo, as did Ernie Johnson.
Yep,
they should have had Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck there too, though.
That would have been funny.
It's fine, you know. They did it so they could use special effects and new players, and I'm glad they used some of the WNBA players too. So
yeah,
it's fine. It's cool.
Yeah.
Oh man, I wish we talk about the closing credits where they had some photos of the tunes in the real world.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Well, let's just talk about Foghorn Leghorn standing in front of a sign for Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
That shit was hilarious.
wrong. They did have Tweety looking like on a phone, like someone took a picture of Tweety. Mm. But they should have had like some kind of Twitter reference there.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Like him being like the original Twitter bird or something.
Yeah. Missed opportunity. All right, are we ready for our final questions? Or?
Yeah, I was ready for the final questions right around the first minute mark of this.
So I'm going to go ahead and do the first one, and we're switching it up this week because we talked about this during the last Bond podcast. Instead of Tom Hanks or Will Smith, would Michelle Yeoh?
Oh, yeah.
Could Michelle Yeoh be in this film? As what character, and would she make it better?
She 100% could be in this film. One matter of fact, I'm actually surprised she wasn't, to be honest. And as what? Two things. She could have either replaced what's her name? Who was in the boardroom when he met for the 3000 Warner 3000. What's her name?
I'm blanking.
Yeah. Well, she could have replaced her. I'm looking up
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, Sarah Silverman. And she could have been Lola Bunny. I think she could have probably done Lola, like an older version of her. So.
There's not really female characters in this, like at least for the tunes.
Yeah, we won't get
actually,
into all.
Probably at all, actually. There's Sarah Silverman, LeBron's wife, and his daughter.
Yeah, there are very female
characters. Period. But yeah, I agree. I think she could be, and she would make it better.
Yep.
I just don't know what character that would be.
Yeah. Maybe they just write, they create some, or they bring another character in from the WB. I mean, they got tons of characters. I mean, come on.
Well, actually, I mean, they had some people doing voiceovers for like Wonder Woman and stuff. So Wonder Woman's in there too. The actual character, actually the person that has done voiceover in an animated, one of the animated Wonder Woman films, Bloodlines, did it for this one. So, you know, yeah, it could have been something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would have loved that. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Or she could have been LG Rhythm. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, she could. Maybe just a female version.
Yeah, that's true. Alice.
I said Don Cheadle would be the only person that could do that, but actually, I think she would have. She could have done it. I think she definitely could have done it.
Well, she essentially plays that same character in Star Trek Discovery. She plays an evil, sadistic, selfish person in that. So. She rolled us right over easy. Easy.
All right. Anyway, should we do the next question?
Yeah, sure. What is the next question?
My goodness. Have you ever been on the show before, Darren?
Nope.
Could Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven the soundtrack, and for what scene?
I feel like it could have been in, definitely could have been in. It could have been like a tongue in cheek, you know, at the end when.
Bugs.
Well, I was going to say either when Algae Rhythm loses or when Bugs is about to pass. Or it could have been tongue in cheek when Bugs is in the tune verse by himself.
I mean, this is so heavily like hip hop and R&B, but it might have actually worked tongue in cheek when Bugs was dying, because all of a sudden, like. Yeah, you just pull back all the beats and all that shit and just have this like very somber song. Yeah, it could have worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your favorite song and give me your compasses the sound of the film.
My favorite song.
At the very least, there's stuff to choose from.
No, so I actually liked the song Hoops. I thought that was kind of dope. I like the fact because I haven't heard anything from Salt and Pepper in a long time, so it's kind of cool to have her, you know, them a part of the movie, kind of a homage to, you know, the 90s hip hop. And then probably. The song I think that is, you know, most fitting the movie, probably for me, Game Time.
Game Time. That's for Dame Time.
Yeah, I know. I like it. You know, so you know.
I'd probably say like. Encompasses probably See Me Fly, just because that's the whole highlight reel in the beginning.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, I just can't be bothered to think any further about that. but my favorite's probably Flavor in Your Ear. But we got to talk about the remix, Flavor in Your Ear.
Flavor in Your Ears, yeah.
I also have a quick bonus question, which is how do we feel about this soundtrack versus the original, which we kind of covered.
I like the original. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like the greatest soundtrack ever made or even the most memorable, but there's just something more nostalgic about it, I guess, because you know we grew up with it, right? I mean, it was ours, and this soundtrack is so much more like you said, new hip hop. It's very digital to me. I don't know how else to say it.
I have to say, look, just reliving the original one. Like this soundtrack for me is too long, which is like fucking a disease these days with a lot of albums. Just like, you know, stop at 12 songs, stop going to 19 and 20 bullshit. But yeah, if you look at the original one, you've got I Turn to You, All for One, Fly Like an Eagle, Seal, Hit 'Em High, which I love. Space Jam is a fun one. Basketball Jones, Barry White. For You, I Will, Monica.
Yep.
You got Found My Smile Again, D'Angelo. Upside Down, En Vogue, and Salt and Pepper. Like, there is actually this jams on this. And then Get Ready for This, right? So right. There are actually, like, jams on the original. I think it is actually a pretty decent soundtrack.
Yep. And, you know, most of the artists that you mentioned are artists that are considered, you know, legendary, you know, hip hop, R&B musicians who are still doing stuff, you know, today, where I think, I don't know. I mean, outside of John Legend and a few handful of other people like Kirk Franklin, Lil Wayne, maybe, I don't know, Chance the Rapper, maybe. There's a couple of people on here. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have great faith that they'll be around for the next Space Jam.
Yeah, so, in 25 years.
Next Space Jam, it'll be Luka Doncic.
25 years, I'm sure he'll be retired. So, what are we rating this film?
I don't even know what I gave the last one, the original. I probably gave it like, if I had to guess, I probably gave it like a 7 or so. As I'm watching the movie today, I couldn't help but think that if I gave this a 7, this can't be anywhere near 7. So I'm going to give this a 6. And I hate giving things low, but I'll never watch this again.
Right.
So yeah, I know.
6 is actually not a terrible rating.
Well, it's, I don't know. I like the special effects. I do like the special effects. And so I'll give that a little bit of an extra boost for them. But otherwise, I'm like, it was almost painful for me to watch it again today. So.
Yeah.
Thank God it was free.
Yeah. Well, until Monday. I'm glad we squeezed it in. Man, I did find my notes, but I don't have what I rated the old one. Anyway, this one I gave a solid 4.
All right.
Solid four.
I also had to make sure that you were the low hand because, you know, you always.
So what are we playing poker here? Figure out what hand I got.
Yeah, this is the reverse of poker. Whoever gets the lowest wins.
So yeah, I give it 4. Like, I mean, there's not enough good acting in this film to redeem it, and there's plenty of songs I think are terrible on there. So, the storyline is weak. You know, we discussed all this stuff. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. And yet, they still made it. They still made people watch it.
137 million worth.
I'm very curious. I'll be very curious to see where that box office ends up. Where, like, because they can't, I mean, if they don't get to that 200 mark, man.
After our review, people are going to be flocking to see.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be flocking. All right. To see Space Jam 1. Probably. Mm-hmm.
All right.
What are you up to next?
Oof. My God, is it in a week and a half I have my show? Yeah, week and a half. I got my first show since February 2020. Arlene's Grocery, 7 p.m.
That's
looking forward to it, man.
Hopefully, don't lock us down before that, but looks like. I don't think that's going to happen. They've got the, for COVID.
Vaccination is required for this show. So,
yeah. So, yeah, should be good. Hopefully, it'll be a good turnout. So, everybody should save up your ducats and come on out and have a beer with us.
Well,
but get vaccinated first.
This is a $10 show. I'm sure you can handle it.
Yeah. I have nothing going on except I'm off to do another podcast in a few minutes.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Nice.
Staying in the house away from all this heat.
Yeah. Actually, tonight, Anderson and I are going to go see Colin Hay at City Winery.
Oh, right.
So,
oh, yeah.
I've seen him a couple times. I'm very excited. He's amazing live.
I'm going to see... I'm going to be at City Winery in September, I think. So, to see some people, some of the comedians from Daily Show.
Yeah, I heard. I got an email talking about comedians over there. So, if you want to, win a free comedy show with Darren Jenkins, enter our competition.
Yeah, and Chris Fan.
Nope.
He's like, nope. All right. Well, I guess that does it for this painful episode.
Hey, man, we had a good conversation. Don't fret.
It was a great conversation about a painful subject.
Yes.
Yeah. LeBron, stop acting, dude. Just stop. And,
if you get a chance, advice.
You should watch that movie he was And then you'll see the light. You'll see his greatness in all of his splendid glory. Or not. Anyway, I'm Darren Jenkins.
And I'm Chris Saunders.
Be sure to follow us at the Download Podcast Show. Until next time, this is The Download. Bye, y'all.